that we have the opportunity to reap the rewards of those investments as well. And I think it's very important just to recognize how many people in this room would strongly prefer that nothing ever happened on this land? I mean, be honest. Be honest. You've talked about the how many people will only want single-family homes south of Rawson as the only option? All right, so we will never agree.
That's right.
Okay, so we'll never agree. So I understand. I understand.
But folks,
it's rhetorical.
Okay, it's a rhetorical. This is rhetorical, not conversation. I just was looking for a show of hands. The problem that we have is that we're trying to accomplish something that you desperately don't want us to accomplish, and I appreciate that. But to the council, who's really the audience for what we're doing tonight, we need to be able to pursue this with all diligence and expedience to get to the answers that will allow this to move forward the way that we all hope that it can move forward. We believe in this development. There are people who don't believe in baseball. There's people who don't want apartments. That's fine. But the critical mass of development offered here is something special. This, you know, we said in our presentation, we're not trying to be Oak Creek. We're not trying to be Drexel Town Square. We're not trying to be Bayshore Town Center. We're not trying to do any of those things. What we're trying to do here is create something that's unique in all of Metro Milwaukee, that adds to the character and identity of Franklin, that differentiates Franklin from its neighbors, and that creates a sense of community that doesn't currently exist as a gathering place within the city of Franklin. We think that's important. We believe in it, and Mike Zimmerman has a passion, whether you like Mike or don't. I have a tremendous amount of respect, and I like Mike a lot. So, you know, for me, it's hard for me to hear the things that you folks are saying. But what I believe is this team has the ability to deliver this project. And if it can't deliver this exact project as shown, it won't be for lack of trying. And I believe the outcome that we get to will be the right outcome for not only this parcel, but for Franklin. So we do appreciate very much the opportunity to talk to you. This is a very hard and complicated decision. But we believe that as elected officials, like many of you have said, I think every elected official starts off with this hope that they can promote economic expansion and growth during their tenure. This is, in one fell swoop, an opportunity to actually make a large ripple in the economic pool that is Franklin. So, thank you.
Okay, one last point from me, and then we're going to move forward, hopefully. You know, we talk about the city not pulling the plug on this project. There's a financial reality to this, too, that in a month or two or three or whatever it is, that the three partners will get together and look at the numbers and say, this just doesn't make sense. So there's a possibility that way, too. So until we get down the path, nobody knows. So
when was it done already?
Okay. Any other comments from the council?
I have a question.
Alderwoman Mayor, hold on.
I guess I have a question. Blair, you had brought up the fact that there's a negotiated zoning settlement or something like that.
Well, no. I want everyone to understand exactly what's happening here. I mean, my goal, we're not trying to hide anything. So, the TIF, let's just talk about the TIF for just a second. I'm going to get right to your question. But like the TIF, we don't know what we're asking for yet because we don't know what we're going to be allowed to do yet. Which math do you want to fabricate out of thin air first? We have to know the direction we're going to actually point in that direction. So what I was suggesting is this agreement is going to happen. There's a whole bunch of conditions here. You know, I want people to know, yes, this rezoning is done, but this project may or may not move forward. But it's PDD zoning. And to meet the PDD standards, you have to meet all of the conditions of the PDD. And I don't know, Joel, that we've actually had a conversation about it, because what I was asking was, if we don't meet the conditions, it's still zoned to a PDD that hasn't had the conditions met. What you can build is what the PDD allows you to build, right? So you still have to meet the conditions of the PDD to be able to build anything. Is that accurate?
Correct.
And that's what I was getting at here.
Yeah,
if we don't meet the conditions, we can't build anything. And neither can the next guy, because the next guy has to meet the same underlying conditions that are precedent in the PDD. So really what I was suggesting here is that when you draft this, this is an ordinance you're drafting, when this ordinance gets drafted, it's going to have all these conditions as a part of it. Until those conditions are met, nothing gets built.
Well, I guess I have a question regarding the change in the zoning. I mean, obviously right now the plan is showing that it would be apartments. Is it possible then that that could be any other kind of mixed use?
Well, no, I believe that there's going to be an exhibit attached to the ordinance that suggests what the plan is and what the areas are for each of those uses. Now, I don't want to speak out of turn. Is that consistent with what you're expecting, Joel?
All these exhibits will be part of the ordinance, referred to in the ordinance. But as those conditions that are also in the ordinance state, more detailed plans are required, most of which I'm recommending the council has to approve.
Right.
Even the permitted uses. This PDD will have some permitted uses. So, for instance, those apartments, three stories or less, would be a permitted use. But those conditions still must be met. A district-wide, a PDD-wide stormwater management plan, a PDD-wide parking plan, all those things still have to be met first before they can do any of the permitted uses. And like normal, like all other projects in the city, all those permitted uses would have to do a site plan and get those approvals as well.
I mean, what the point is that it's a rezoning, but it has an enormous amount of conditions because you're not, we could have rezoned, I'm sorry, I forget, what's the name of the densest multifamily?
R8,
right? It's 8 units per acre. We could have asked for a rezoning to R8 and probably figured out a way to solve for that. We're at about 8.5 units per acre in the land south of Rawson. We could have moved to about 8 units per acre and asked for a rezoning to R8. In conversation with staff, we mutually agreed that that wouldn't necessarily be the appropriate right because that would allow somebody to develop by right that 8 units per acre. A PDD is a much, it offers both greater restriction and greater opportunity because it allows you to expand beyond the defined zoning classifications within the ordinance, but then it also imposes a significant set of limitations in the form of 39 conditions precedent to development activity occurring. So the PDD became a preferred form of the rezoning because of the scale, size, and just scope of this development. And we decided mutually that the R8 zoning would, while there's an inclination to just do that because it's easy, you don't have to rewrite the zoning code, at the same time, it would create a development by right opportunity for anyone who owned that land. We actually thought about the neighbors in making that decision.
Okay, and I guess I want to make that clear, too, to the residents here, is that that apartments was not the idea of the council or the city. This is something that your group thought of.
Yeah, this absolutely. This is all part of a comprehensive plan for a very large tract of land, and how do you build the appropriate level of critical mass? And we were thinking very hard about all of the things that these different pieces need to see in the surrounding neighborhood in order to work.
I think the comment I made was that you spent money on the Gray study. So yeah, that expert tell you that that's the most likely use. I mean, the real issue here is somebody made a mistake a long time ago in terms of the comprehensive master plan and that area, and you guys are in a really awkward position where you have to fix that. But your experts, like people that are in this business, have told you that's how this thing should be zoned.
And that was my point.
Correct. I understand that. Okay.
That's it?
I guess just regarding the zoning again, the timing of it, the fact that we would not wait until after the DNR did their thing. I just feel as though there's a lot of questions that are being asked, but they're really not being answered. So, I mean.
Well, I can speak to that. So the DNR will make a request, we'll do their investigation based upon a specific request from us for a plan that we believe we can build. So if we were to take this to the DNR, right, if we were to just take this to the DNR, it would be very complicated for them to come up with any kind of determination. And so then we would need to get more and more and more specific. It's going to be a very collaborative effort. It's already been a collaborative effort with the county. We've met with them several times. We've talked about what will the process look like. You know, what kind of borings can we take? How can we do our site investigation? We've already started that whole process. We've at the same time been trying to identify what specifically are we going to be allowed to build, and then let's find out how we do that in collaboration with the DNR and the county to ensure that all of the I's are dotted and T's are crossed. The question is you can't engineer a bridge until you know which gap you're filling. And we need to know what it is that we're trying to do here in order to be able to come up with a plan that the DNR can reasonably assess.
Could I just have a point of information?
Ma'am, no. Sorry.
What line of the DNR?
I'm sorry. I truly am sorry, but that's not the way it works.
What my question is to the city attorney. We had this conversation, and I thought it would have been brought up earlier, but we had talked about somehow putting some kind of condition on the zoning. Is that something that is appropriate?
Well, Alderwoman, I will tell you that the zoning is the next issue. We're talking about the comprehensive master plan update on this issue.
That's fine. Can the city attorney still answer the question?
Conditional zoning is permitted in Wisconsin. Obviously, I'm hearing all conditions. I keep looking at 31 stated in the draft. In any event, what I heard earlier, and obviously it's planned development district, mixed use, statutorily requires consent of owners, meaning property owners within the area to be rezoned. Which is why there have been all these discussions with the Planning Department and Economic Development Director. Nonetheless, in effect, I was hearing that following some inability to meet a condition, failure to obtain all necessary Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources approvals necessary to build the stadium and or the market area, on or before November 1 could result in a reversion to the zoning existing right now before the adoption of an ordinance. That's an example of a condition that could be included.
Well, I don't like that condition all that much. That's pretty fast. Well, that's pretty fast. I mean, we've got to design the thing and get the approvals, and the DNR is complicated. But I don't think...
It was actually October.
Yeah, it's August 1st. I think the devil will be in the details, right? I mean, the requirement is to meet all of the conditions, and our expectation is that we will meet all of the conditions.
So the direct answer, Alderwoman, is yes, you can put a condition that it reverts back type certain.
Right, thank you.
Anyone else? All right. We're under item G1 still. Is there a motion to adopt ordinance number 2016, whatever it's going to be, an ordinance to amend the City of Franklin 2025 Comprehensive Master Plan to change the City of Franklin 2025 future land use map use designation for the properties located at approximately 7900 West Crystal Ridge Drive and along West Rawson Avenue and West Loomis Road and West Old Loomis Road, including but not limited to 8220, 8240, 8316 and 8490 West Old Loomis Road from residential use and transportation use to mixed use, being the land south of Ross Avenue, and to reclassify certain existing road right-of-ways from transportation use to mixed use, that being the lands north of Ross Avenue, with regard to the proposed Ballpark Commons sports-anchored mixed-use development of approximately 14.964 acres north of West Rawson Avenue and approximately 39.419 acres south of West Rawson Avenue. Greg Margo, Zimmar Property LLC applicant. Is there such a motion? Is there a second?
Second.
Discussion of the motion? Discussion of the motion? Seeing none, Director of Administration, please call the roll.
Alderman Mayer.
Aye.
Alderman Schmidt.
Aye.
Alderman Taylor?
Aye.
Alderwoman Wilhelm?
Aye.
Alderman Mayer?
No.
Alderman D'Andrea?
Aye.
Motion passes. 5 ayes, 1 no, no absent, no abstention. We move on to item G2. This will be the city attorney. G2 is an ordinance to amend section 15-3.0442 of the Unified Development Ordinance Plan Development District Number 37, commonly known as the Rock Sports Complex, to revise the district and to expand. This is kind of important, folks. To revise the district and to expand the district to encompass certain adjacent area lands to create the Ballpark Commons Sports Acre mixed-use development. Mike Zimmerman and Greg Marzo, Zimmar Property LLC, and John Dargle, Jr., Director of Milwaukee County Parks. Department of Parks are the applicants. It's located at approximately 7900 West Crystal Ridge Drive and along West Rawson Avenue and West Loomis Road and West Old Loomis Road. In your packets, there is a substantial number of conditions attached to this particular item. City attorney has some information additional.
Within the common council agenda packets are letters, one from attorney Matthew Fleming, who spoke earlier, and one from myself, and I believe some of the filed protest petitions. There have been a number of protest petitions filed. I think it was up to on or about 65, maybe one more filed close to around 5 this afternoon, which would be 66. In any event, my understanding following the final review by the planning manager for the city is that calculations with the assistance of the IT department in reviewing the petitions was that and is that the properties adjacent to category exceeded the necessary minimum standard for a protest petition. I believe the actual number, there might be some decimal involved, but it was 37% of the properties adjacent to the area subject to the amendment. And also with regard to immediately opposite there too, essentially meaning across the street, with regard to that category, there was an insufficient number of petitions filed, which the bottom line is any one of the three statutory and municipal code categories in excess of 20% are sufficient to require the supermajority vote. So 5 votes, affirmative votes, would be required to adopt this ordinance.
Any questions for staff regarding this particular action item? I've got a motion in front of me drafted by staff that includes their recommendations and a list of recommendations as amended in this motion. What I propose to do is read the motion, and if it gains traction as it is, great. And then if it doesn't, then I'm off for amendments as usual. So let me go at this without objection. A motion to approve ordinance 2016, whatever it's going to be, an ordinance to amend section 15-3.0442 of the Unified Development Ordinance Plan Development District Number 37, the Rock Sports Complex, to revise the district and expand the district to encompass certain adjacent area lands to create Ballpark Commons, Sports Anchored Mixed Use Development. Mike Zimmerman and Greg Marzo of Zimmar Properties LLC and John Dargle Jr., Director of the Milwaukee County Department of Parks, are applicants at approximately 7900 West Rawson Avenue, West Loomis Road, and Old West Loomis Road. Subject to the additional changes recommended by staff to the draft ordinance section 3 in your packet, conditions of approval, and these changes consists of item 1, removal of conditions 2, 5, and 31, of conditions 3, 4, 15, and 26 to change the wording prior to submittal of the proposed PDD amendment to the Common Council to prior to submittal of any plans. Item 3, conditions number 6 and 7 would include the language, any recommendations from the comprehensive study that apply to existing facilities or events shall be implemented by the applicant within 2 years from the date of acceptance of the study by the Common Council. Item 4, revision of conditions 8B, number 9, and 11B as set forth in attachment A. Removal of the portions of condition number 12 pertaining to the provision of a preliminary multifamily residential information. The next item is revision of condition 14 to change prior submittal of the proposed PDD amendment to the Common Council to prior to the submittal of plans for the commercial area. Next item is removal of the portion of the condition number 16 pertaining to provision of a preliminary traffic impact analysis. Next item is removal of the portion of condition number 20 pertaining to provision of a preliminary bike and pedestrian plan. Next one is removal of the portion of condition 21 pertaining to a provision of a preliminary streetscape plan. Next condition is removal of the portion of conditions 28 pertaining to provision of a preliminary architectural plan. And the last condition, as recommended by staff, addition of a new condition that the Plan Development District number 37, the Rock Sports Complex Ordinance, shall be subject to minor technical corrections, such as the inclusion of commercial apartments in upper stories and mixed-use residential buildings in the area intent of Section 15-3.0442B of the ordinance, and revision of the S designation in Table 15-3.0443D.3 for multiple family dwellings and apartments to P/S pursuant to review and approval of the Planning Department staff and city attorney. That is a suggested motion.
So moved.
Is there a second to that?
Second.
Discussion of the motion? Alderman Wilhelm?
Do you have the numbers for each one of those? Because I have the two.
This closely follows the information in your council action sheet. Matter of fact, it's identical except the last section. Alderman Dandria, I believe you have.
Yes, I did have a question. Well, I know that staff had recommended that we considered shortening the time frame on the existing structures for sound and lighting to 1 year. Why did you revert it back to 2 years?
We continue to have meetings every week with the applicants, and they indicated the difficulty of not only getting this approved in a timely fashion, but then the difficulty of getting this implemented in a timely fashion. So again, I did believe that 2 years would be more reasonable than one.
Okay. For reference, that's on conditions 6 and 7.
Correct. Now, there's nothing referencing a condition to the TID Can we add a condition that would reflect terminology regarding the successful outcome of a TID?
I would believe it would be similar to the earlier discussion about conditions in a zoning matter like this.
Okay.
Theoretically, I suppose the answer would be yes. I would just recommend that it be as clear as possible, both what that condition is and then when it's required.
Alderman, if I may?
Yes.
Relative to that particular issue, consider the following condition whereby the applicant decides this is going to be self-funded, but changes to the plan aren't something that the city feels is appropriate. My suggestion is that if you choose to make an amendment to the motion, that it be conditional on successful completion of the conditions, such that if they're not completed, it reverts back to the original zoning. So make it zoning related, not financially related.
Okay.
That would be my suggestion.
Well, I like that recommendation.
Thanks. Did everybody hear that? You like fun. There is no modification of the motion. The motion is adjourned.
For clarification, on a phone call this afternoon to the planning manager, I understood on a review of the draft PDD highlighted, comparing it to what's been termed attachment A, which was a statement of city position, developer position, and current state of affairs, if you will, and that staff was recommending essentially the entirety of the staff position as ultimately negotiated with the developer, and that each and every one of those terms was within the legal confines of the UDO. Is this motion that the mayor read exactly what's recommended within the common council packet materials as your staff report?
Yes.
Alderman, do you have an amendment?
No, I don't.
All right, another discussion of the motion. Alderwoman,
I just need the clarification.
Please use your microphone.
I need the clarification that it would revert back to the original zoning.
That's not part of this motion, but could be made as an amendment.
Okay. Could I ask the city attorney to help me form an amendment?
I'm going to ask the planning manager, as well as the economic development director, because there are so many steps here, what is a reasonable point where some condition should be met in full amongst all of the components, and that on that date, if the condition's not fully met, the rezoning reverts to what it is right now?
That is, he got to the point of the matter. Experience has shown most of the projects the city approves has conditions, and those conditions are usually addressed piecemeal in parts. Sometimes it's clear how that's going to work ahead of time. Most of the time it's not. Many times, sometimes items have to come back to the planning commissioner and council because it's not clear. Has a condition been fully addressed? Staff's not sure. We're looking for guidance. Other times, staff makes a staff call. We'll push it back. It said the condition said building permit, but we'll push it back to occupancy or temporary occupancy. You know, it's all a matter of scale, how large the remaining condition is to how far they are in that process, and how important or unique is this that it needs to come back to Planning Commission Council. So he's pointing out this can get really messy really quick. I think the applicant will not like what I'm about to say next, you could defer to staff, and we'll defer error on the side of caution and bring stuff back to the council that we normally wouldn't. That would be one way to do it, but it could still be a little bit complicated in that there's so many moving pieces here. I believe that it would be doable from the city standpoint. We'll continue the practice that we've done before with smaller projects. But where we would normally err and say, or normally would make the call that this would go to staff, we'll take it to Planning Commission. Where we'd normally say this could go to Planning Commission, we'll take this to council. I believe that would take care of most of these issues of when is a condition done, when is a condition not done, that now we want to start talking about rescinding this approval. Because I think any time that we would get close to that, that should be the purview of the common council. That discussion should be the purview. Staff would not be making that recommendation. Staff would be providing that information. Here's the condition that we believe has not been met. The applicant would respond. They'd say, here's why we haven't met it. But this motion would say that condition has not been met. Therefore, we would have to revoke the zoning. And the one last piece that just crossed my mind, this project will be developed in phases. So the early phases could be approved and built and under construction, and it's some subsequent phase that is not addressed. Now, But this motion has not been approved yet, but as it's been discussed, there's no distinguishing between the parts. It would be all or nothing. So that's another further complicated way of trying to address this. So again, I think it could be done. It'd still be a little bit messy, and on a project of this complexity, I would err on the side of caution and bring more things back to Planning Commission Council than I normally would. So I think from that standpoint, I think it could work. The applicant would probably like to speak, and it probably would not like this approach.
I'm not fundamentally opposed to the approach. I'm actually, you know, we need to get approvals, and the council's going to expect you to do your job in providing those approvals. Actually, where I get a little bit confused is, like, for example, in condition number, this is really small, 23, prepare a preliminary landscaping plan for all of Ballpark Commons. You know, one of the things that you identified is that this development's likely to happen in phases. And as you do a phase development, certain of the phases are really far along in design to the point where a building permit could be pulled if approvals are secured, and others are still in a somewhat more conceptual phase, a little bit more fluid as the process goes. Let me understand this. So we want a preliminary landscape plan as one of our conditions for everything.
One of the changes removed that.
Oh, that's a good one.
Yep. So
is there another one where that same logic works?
I should have cut all of them. No. All the preliminary plans are now removed. Okay. It's just a final plan. So the final plan is required before the submittal of any detailed plans.
So the final plan for the phase that we're trying, I want to make sure everyone here understands. So if we're building the four-season thing first, let's just say, we need to have final plans for that, inclusive of landscaping for that phase.
There's three different timing standards here. One is before any plans.
Yeah.
That means no phases. This thing is needed first. Parking and stormwater management would be the two prime examples.
Right.
No phase can be approved. No phase can be submitted without those two plans. So those are the conditions that would say, I think it's me. Those are the conditions that say before any plans.
Mm-hmm.
Other conditions say before the submittal of any detailed plans. Mm-hmm. That refers to that portion of the PDD. So yes, we identified various sub-areas within this PDD, so we'd be looking at those boundaries. And we also understand that those boundaries can be fluid. You know, instead of three commercial buildings along Rawson, it could be two or four. We understand that would be fluid, and changes of that nature would not necessarily always come back to the council. So that's the idea. Before any plans, before the detailed plans.
And just as a last note, we're not opposed to coming back to the elected officials or the appointed members of the Planning Commission